Voting members, I'll call this meeting of the State Government Finance and Elections Conference Committee to order. And I'll start out with Ms. Sprecht. Can you take the roll?
Chair Nelson.
I'm here.
Chair Kiffmeyer.
Present.
Representative Nash.
Present.
Senator Carlson. Representative Greenman.
Present.
Senator Howe.
Present.
Senator Curran.
Present.
Senator Lang.
Present.
Representative Mason.
Present.
Representative Zhang.
Present.
A quorum is present.
Thank you, Ms. Spreck. Now, members, we're going to take up the state government portion of this bill, the side-by-sides, where we have we went over last night. Senator Kiffmeyer, myself, went over the same and similars, and we'll walk through these, and then we can vote on them as a whole. And we'll start with, you go to your same and similars on page R4, Section 3 of the House and Section 7 of the Senate. And they're the same language. We've agreed to take the Senate, or excuse me, the House language on that. That's basically dealing with the legislative reference library, requiring that without cost that they're giving, they get copies of all documents. The next section would be on page R5, and it's for the Legislating Coordinating Commission. It's same and similar language, or I say the same language, and it's just authorizing the activities of the Joint Legislative Commissions. And again, we've agreed to take the House language on that. The next section is on page R6, and actually the next two sections there. Section 6 through 10, but Section 6 has to do with the legislative auditor. Section 7, 8, 9, and 10, going into all the way through to page R9, are in their technical updates for the legislative auditors. This came out of the Legislative Audit Commission. Again, this is the same language in both the House and the Senate. We've agreed to take the House language. The next section is R22, on page R22. And it has to do with virtual payments. And this, to the right, same page. And this is for the budget to do authorize virtual payments instead of having you write a check out. Being able to make payments through electronic cash or credit rather than a traditional check. And again, this will save the department money. That's R22. And again, we've agreed to take, it's the same, that was similar language, but the only difference was in the House language. The very end of that paragraph D, the House strikes that because it's no longer necessary. It's obsolete language, and we decided to take this House language. It has that, in fact, the staff recommended we take the House language. The next piece is, keep myself in line here, on page R22 is the virtual language, and R23, House Sections 22, Senate Section 38. Again, they're the same language. We're gonna just, for ease for the staff, we're taking the House language on that also. The next one on my list here, actually the next page is on the next one on the list here is on R23. This modifies the list of bids of buildings the Department of Administration has a responsibility for. That's Section 22, House Section 22, Senate Section 38. Again, to make it easier for the staff, we decided to take the Senate language. The next on the list here is R28 is, again, for the Department of Administration, eliminates obsolete duties about material handling in the state recycling center. And we no longer have that, so we're just taking the language out of statute. And again, that's the same in both the House and the Senate. We agree, again, to make things simple for the staff, we're going to take the House language on that. Also on this page, there's language having to do with the motor pools. That's House Section 29, Senate Section 44. Again, for ease for the staff, we're taking the House language. The next page on our page R29, you've got House or Sections 30 in the House, 45 in the Senate. They're the same language. We're agreed to take the House language. And that leads in the top of the next page. The next page we've got here is section on page 59. And that's revisor's instructions, and that has to deal with the motor pool that was back there on the last page, 829. And again, that's the revisor's or the staff suggested we take the House language on that. The next we have is on page 35. Again, it's House Sections 36. If I'm going too fast, if you want me to slow down, I can. The House Section 36, Senate Section 61, House Sections 37, Senate Section 62. We've agreed to take the House language on those two. The House Section 36 and House Section 37, we're going to take that. Pages are sticking together here. The next is on page 36, House Section 39, and House Section 40, which would be Senate Section 64, Senate Section 65. Again, for ease for the staff, we're going to take the House language. The next on that same page is House Section 41, Senate Section 67. Again, that same language, dealing with cooperation of state agencies and development plans on historic sites. We agreed to take the House language on that. And then on page 39, House Section 44, back on the page before, but I think it's House Section 43. Yeah, House Section 43 and Senate Section 71 on page R38 are the same. Page on House Section 44 of the House and Section 72 of the Senate are the same. If we get both of those, we agreed to take the House language. Section on the bottom of that page, leading into the top of the next page, is House Section 45 and House Section, or excuse me, Senate Section 75. They're the same language, and we've agreed to take the House language on that. And then on page 50, page 48. Read the section instead of the page. Section 4, on page 48, at the top of that page, there's House Section 50, Senate Section 91. That has to do with the Gambling Control Board. They requested that their members be allowed to the members of the control board or the Gambling Control Board stay in their offices until their successors are appointed. They've had some issues with not being able to have a quorum to transpire business, and they need to be able to have a quorum to do that. So we're agreed to take the House language on that. House Sections 50. Then we get to pieces that were similar. We can go back to R12. I'm going to skip that one for a second. R20 is on page R20, section 33 of the how. That was similar language that's on the single source audit. With similar language between the House and the Senate, we've agreed to take the Senate language as it was a little better, and so we're going to take the Senate language on section 33 of the Senate. Also on the bottom of that page, R20, it starts House section 20, Senate section 34. They're similar, and well, that must be a repeat because I think we already talked about that one. That's the money that was supposed to be transferred to the Clean Water Fund by a certain date from the surplus. That money has already been transferred by removing that thing in the House language. It's removing the obsolete language, and so. We're going with the House language on that was agreement. The next has to do is page 24. And this is the Capital Flag Program. And they're similar except for an amendment that was put on the House floor. We decided to take the Senate language on that for the Capital Flag Program.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Regarding the amendment that was put on the floor in the House regarding fallen canines, was there a reason that we're walking past that? Because I think that that's fairly universally viewed as a benign amendment, and was wondering what if we could talk about the rationale there.
Why don't we pull that one out? And I want to pull the India Day one out. I want to discuss that in the committee. But with that, with those two removed, Chair Kiffmeyer, do you want to move this agreement with separately pulling out the India Day and the canine piece with the Capital Flag Program? And all we missed one other one that we need to talk about, that is the canines on the page R26. With similar language, the canine management of allowing the handlers of retired canines officers that the police dogs, that the handlers are allowed to keep the police dogs and take care of them and then take over the expenses of taking care of them. And that one there, we decided to take, it was a little more specific language in the Senate version, and we decided to take the Senate version. So, Senator Kiffmeyer, minus the India Day and the Capital Flag Program, do you want to move this document that we of the proposed agreements?
Okay, Mr. Chair, I am. I'm just reviewing again.
Yep.
Members, are there any other areas that you want to pull out for further discussion? Would be my interest.
Give you a couple seconds to look through it.
And Mr. Chair.
Representative Nash.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm not sure if the gambling control board language that's in the House bill, is that reflective of the amendment that we added in committee that I added in, or is that at another
juncture? That was a different section, Representative Nash.
Perfect. Thank you.
So, Chair Nelson, Representative yes. Nelson. So, on R48, section 50, R48, section 50, this was... after I have read this, yes, it is identical language. So Representative Nash, that is identical language. That's the membership where A member may continue holding office until a successor is appointed unless, prior to the expiration of the member's term, the appointing authority notifies the board that a member's appointment may not be extended. And that is identical between the House and the Senate, if that clarifies that.
That wasn't the piece that he was talking about. I believe the piece that he was talking about, and I'm going to try to find it here, had to deal with, if I remember right, Senator Nash, or Representative Nash, had to deal with phone sales of lottery tickets.
Raffle tickets,
yes. And that wasn't in that section.
Wasn't in any of these on the same similar.
Yes.
Well, that's the House only provision.
Yes. We didn't talk about it. We didn't talk about any of those. We said we can talk about those at a later date.
So, Mr. Chair, on the proposed to be adopted, I will move the document as presented, with the exception of the topic India Day and the Capital Flag Program. Those two are pulled out, and then I move the balance.
Representative Mason, you've got your hand up.
Yeah, if I'm right, there was a section about the Historical Society as we were going through, and I definitely thought we needed a discussion on that, but I can't find the page right now.
The Historical Society, there was sections 36, 37, 39, 40, 41, 43, and 45 in the House bill that were same as the language in the Senate bill, starting on page R35 and on R39. And those were similar, those were same language, not similar language that was in both bills. Representative Mason.
Okay. So I guess I still need to understand about the transfer of the duties and how it's working. If it's about the transfer of SHPO, that's the one where I think we are making changes, which we didn't discuss that much in committee, and I think it's really important that we discuss it before we make it change the law.
I see Ms. Roberts Davis is here. Did you want to speak on those sections?
Mr. Chair, can we clarify speaking to the sections that are on the proposed document at this time?
Yeah. Well, those are on the proposed document this time.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. I don't believe that the changes to the historical society shifting those responsibilities to the SHPO are included in this language. These are the things that were agreed upon between the Senate and the House, and so I don't believe that these are included in this language.
Okay, then that's fine. I just was looking at some of the main headlines. Okay, if that's the case, then I'm okay.
Any other questions of the motion? So, if there are no other questions, the motion is the document we have in front of us to agree to the sames and similars that were in the document, minus the India Day, which is on page R12, Senate Section 22, and the Capital Flag Program, which is on R24, Section 3, Senate Section 3. So, members, everyone aware of the amendment, what we're voting on? If that, all in favor, please unmute. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you, members. So, members, Capital Flag Program, Representative Nash, you want to discuss that?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Yeah, that was an amendment that was placed on the floor believe it didn't even go to a roll call. It was a unanimous voice vote. Representative Raleigh brought that forward to allow the same program to be extended to any canine officer that fell in the line of duty. Again, it's virtually the same program, but it expands to canines, reflecting the fact that they too are important to our state and that we would include them. There was no pushback, no contention, and would hope that we could move the House language to include that through the conference report. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Lane.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. This was my bill. It was myself and Representative Hewitt. I don't know if Representative Hewitt had spoke to it on the floor or not. I guess at this point, I am hesitant to add the floor amendment from the House. I don't know what the discussion was there. This was rather, I'm a dog lover myself. I'm a huge advocate of canine programs. I just don't know if it belongs in this program, Mr. Chair. And I guess with that, I'd increase or encourage any additional discussion amongst members, and then maybe go for it.
Any other members' discussion?
Well, Mr. Chair,
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Hearing that it was a voice vote and unanimous, that's a very strong position, Mr. Chair. I didn't know that. So I would say we might want to take the House language there, since that was a voice vote and unanimous without opposition. That's a very strong House position.
Any other comments? Representative or Senator Howell.
You know, I'm a dog lover. I've got one sitting right here next to me right now. But, you know, and I appreciate what canines do, but this Capital Flag program is something to be said for those that, you know, I'm not trying to minimize what canines do, but it's a little bit different than losing someone of importance to our state that's actually a human. And I think there's a difference there. And that's my opinion. We all have them, and I look at the officers that go forward, but we'll see. I mean, wherever we decide to go with, but I'm a little bit hesitant to go there.
Any other discussion? Representative Carlson, or excuse me, Senator Carlson. Sorry for promoting you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I'm going to have to agree with Senator Lange and Senator Howell that you know, this is a very profound honor, and I'm a dog lover. I don't have one right now, but I think there's a certain discounting it does for this profound honor when it is levied onto a piece of property. And in another place in this bill, we're saying that the canine is a piece of property, that its title is given to the owner for retirement. And, you know, even though we would like to honor anyone in law enforcement that has, you know, given their life in the line of duty, I tend to think that the humans that this honor is supposed to really honor should be maintained, and that we don't discount it by including either a dog or a piece of property or something else that really doesn't have the status of a human. So I agree with Senator Lange and Senator Howell on this.
Members, any other comments? If not, it's going to take a motion one way or the other. somebody want to make a motion? We can either do the first half of it which would be the Senate language or the House language from the beginning down to that portion and accept that part of it and then vote on the other piece separately, or we could do it as a motion to take this House language or a motion to take the Senate language. So I guess I need a motion before we can take a vote.
Mr. Chair, I would make the motion to take the Senate language, barring any additional discussion on the topic.
Okay, a motion's been made to take the Senate language, which would exclude the canine officers for this at this point. Members, do we want it to do a voice vote or do we want to do this by roll call?
Voice.
To make sure to... Okay, all in favor of accepting the Senate language of the Capital Flag Program, please say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Okay. I think the ayes have it. Senator Kiffmeyer, Senator Representative Nash, do you want to make a motion?
Well, Mr. Chair was pretty clear that I am deep in the minority on this one. So perhaps we can continue to advocate for the inclusion of canine officers, as they are an important part of our society. And we'll live to fight this one another day. But it's pretty clear that I don't have the vote, so we'll just continue.
Senator
Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the things that we discussed very strongly in the Senate was that I believe this is a pilot program. Is that correct? Is that the understanding as well? It's a pilot program?
Senator Lang. Oh,
thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I can answer that one, and maybe a little background is in order as well at this time. This is a program that actually has existed for several years in an unofficial capacity, something that I've done since I've been in the Senate for folks in my district. I've done it for some folks outside of my district. It's become something where myself and Representative Hewitt, through our work on the state Emergency Medical Services Board, have become pretty well acquainted, and both we're working on it when some emergency medical service personnel were killed in a car crash a couple years ago. So it was something that existed. This is, through the course of several years of legislation, has become something that went from just a something that we did with the administration to something where we were going to open it up to the rest of the Senate and the legislature and the House as a whole. So it was a long process in coming. It was a good, and by making it a pilot program, we are allowing the program to take root, kind of. And it also has had a lot of commitment from outside groups that we're going to be paying for those state flags, for those American flags to fallen service members. So that's kind of in a nutshell what brought on this bill over the last couple of years. I, for one, am kind of glad it's gotten to this point. And I think that at the end of the day, it'll be a good program. So.
Thank you, Senator Lang. And members, I share a legislative assistant with Representative Hewitt, who's carrying on the House. And he's been working hard on this starting back last session, the last biennium. He's been working to try and get this worked out with the House, with the administration, and working the tweaks out on this. And so it's an important program to him. So that's why we have it in our bill. And I think it's a good program going forward. So members, so that, and members and Representative Nash, this isn't the final bill yet. We have plenty of time to talk about the rest of the stuff. We're not putting in yet, that we haven't agreed to yet. We'll be having discussions on those things in the coming week. So members, the next piece is the India Day. And when we were discussing this morning with the members of my caucus, there was some, we agree, you know, Senator Kiffmeyer and I had last night talked about that and agree with the Senate to go use the Senate language, but there's been some discussions on that this morning. So Representative Greenman, you were the one that brought it up to me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think that this was a provision that Representative Cleborn spent a lot of time negotiating, I know, with stakeholders. And there's a few differences, and I think one of the differences, and I'm looking at this very small print of the differences. Some of them are, I believe, stylistic. August 15th of this year is designated as India Day in the House bill. I think there's an as missing. There's a the missing. I think that the piece that we just wanted to and sort of say for the House bill, I think the House bill is a little clearer on the provision B. The governor shall issue a proclamation honoring the observance of India Day and shall encourage Minnesotans to take the opportunity. And I think that there's a shall missing on. I don't think it changes. I would be interested if the Senate folks on their language think it changes anything, but we just think it's a little clearer and would prefer the House language.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, this is one of those things that because when you have same or similar, this is not ownership of a house. This is a ownership of the language of the conference committee. Senator Pratt has worked very, very hard on this India Day language and in our committee has carried it, talked to me about it last year, the year before. This is not a new thing for us in the Senate, but it has made it to this point that it is in this bill at this time. And so I think that's an important recognition. There is also where it says, as India Day to commemorate and celebrate, we have is designated India Day to commemorate and to celebrate. But I don't want to construe this as somehow, if we take the House language, that now the House author is getting some sort of recognition that the Senate author is not. I think that's very, very important. So we've mentioned that here. And so as I shared with you last night, Representative Nelson, as we went through this, we tried to alternate House and Senate, House and Senate. If you'll notice, there's a lot of House language that is here, but it's same. So we work generously together with each other. But when we came to similar, there we tried to balance things out a bit. I can find it in my heart to take the House language because it is so similar, but I want to be absolutely sure that both Senator Pratt and the House author get the recognition, deserve them, and that whether we, in this case, take one or the other, does not a disservice to the other.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Greenman.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that, Chair Kiffmeyer, and actually, as we were talking, got a text from Representative Cleborn about the work that Representative Cleborn did with Senator Pratt and the community. And so just want to appreciate that and know that this work, this language has been worked on for years with community, with both deep engagement from the Senate and the House.
And Ms. James, if you can explain the differences of the languages and whether there's change in the meaning, and I see Representative Cleborn on here would like to testify. Ms. James.
Mr. Chair and members, I don't see any difference in the meaning, and I think that the House's language reads a little better. So from that perspective, staff would recommend the House side.
Representative Cleborn, if you want to weigh in on seeing how this was part of a bill that you carried, and I and Senator Pratt carried, I want to make sure both of you get proper credit because it is an important thing. Representative Claiborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Kiffmeyer, I am in complete agreement with you that we do absolutely need to recognize the accomplishments of Senator Pratt and other members of the Senate. This has been a collaborative effort. It is not a Representative Claiborne only effort. This is many, many stakeholders, many months of working together. And I absolutely honor the work of Senator Pratt on this provision. And I thank you for the consideration of adopting the House language. There is one small change that has, and I don't know if it was a typographical, technical error. The change is in the word value. The values of the community versus valuing the community. And I believe that is on line 32.21 in the Senate version. It is a small change to the word, but it does change the context. And this language has been closely scrutinized by the diverse members, the stakeholders of all of the different members of the Indian Minnesota community. So I would ask that the House language be adopted. And Senator Kiffmeyer, thank you very much for your work and collaboration as well.
And members, if you look online, it's 29.25 of the House, 32.21 of the Senate, where the House says values with an S on the end, and the Senate language is value. Well, members, Senator Kiffmeyer, what's your pleasure?
Well, Mr. Chair, I think we thought we had worked this through, but I appreciate the discussion. And as I shared with you then, I can see advantages to both. We could even have come up with kind of a combo if we wanted to and take a couple things as well. But just for the ease of operating at this time, I will agree to the India Day language, and then we'll consider something in the future when the Senate may have some of these similar kind of situations, and we'll balance it out with the Senate in another area.
Thank you, Chair Kiffmeyer. What's that? Anyway, thank you, Chair Kiffmeyer. So Chair Kiffmeyer moves that on the India Day on R12 that we will adopt the House language, which is section 16 of the House. Any further discussions on that, members? If not, all in favor, please unmute, and all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you, members. Change my sheet here. And then Senator Kiffmeyer, there was another section that we talked about that you called me this morning and talked about and you wanted to discuss, having to do with the Office of the Legislative Auditor. Can you remind me what section that is?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, that would be, let's see, I have to find, I think it's on R8. The notes don't give a page. So I'm just having to. One is section 12, the other is section 16. So section 12 is on, I think, R5.
Yes, that's one. It's
at the bottom there.
It's section 12. In section 5, and the House section 5 starts on R5, goes over into R6. R6. And if
the difference starts on the Senate, The difference starts on 27.26, the parenthetical E paragraph. There's three lines there that the Senate has and the House does not.
Ms. James, up until that point, from 27.1 to the 27.25, are the language identical or the same? You're muted, Ms. James.
Mr. Chair, I apologize. Yes, you're right, that they're the same up until that sentence on the Senate side.
So why don't we, Chair Kiffmeyer, why don't we take that first part first, and then we can discuss the difference that's on line, starts on line 27.26.
No, Mr. Chair, I'd like to have the discussion first.
Okay. Senator Kiffmeyer.
So, members, if you take a look at 27.26, the legislative auditor has requested that we do this language, which would, and you have to remember, and we might have Mr. Nobles here, and I'd actually like to ask Mr. Chair, if Mr. Nobles, since he's here, would explain this particular three lines here in regards to his office. I think he'll do a better job than I can since he's here.
Mr. Nobles. You're muted, Mr. Nobles.
Yes, I'm sorry.
That's okay. But
I don't have all of the documentation in front of me that you do. I assume you're talking about the provision that would not allow employees of the Office of the Legislative Auditor to run for office. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
And thank you, Senator Kiffmeyer. I've worked for the legislature for a very long time. I don't know if I'll make my 50-year anniversary, but it's coming up next year. And I came in as a nonpartisan staff person. And the legislature back in 1972, when I came to work here, was really kind of crafting out the distinction between partisan and nonpartisan staff. And over the years, you know, I think all of us together in this institution have tried to really draw a bright line that distinguishes partisan from nonpartisan. I think the legislature needs both, but my job as legislative auditor is to really protect the integrity and reputation of those of us who are nonpartisan. And especially my responsibility is to protect that integrity and reputation for the Office of the Legislative Auditor. I had one of my employees want to run and, in fact, announced to run for a position in the Senate. And he declared as a partisan candidate. I thought that was incompatible with working here. So I dealt with that situation with him, but I just think that given the way the laws work, they need to be changed so that I don't confront this situation again. Because under existing law, that employee could have continued to work at the Office of the Legislative Auditor and run for a partisan office, for a seat in the Senate. I just think that's unacceptable. I think it really creates a real question as to whether or not that individual would be respected by you legislators as still a nonpartisan person. And if he or she appeared before you presenting a report and you knew he or she ran for a partisan office, would you not have that in your mind? As you interpret the results of the work of that individual, that's a great concern to me. And so all I'm trying to do is protect the reputation of the Office of Legislative Auditor as a nonpartisan office. And so I realize this is controversial, but I would ask for your help in helping me protect the reputation and integrity of the Office of the Legislative Auditor is a nonpartisan office. So that's the reason for this provision.
Members,
Mr. Chair, question for Mr. Noble.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Mr. Nobles, in addition, in your testimony to my committee, you also referenced the management of the office in regards to having staff who have a conflict of interest, such as, if you could address that issue.
Yes. Thank you, Senator Kiffmeyer. Yes, this, for us, maintaining our reputation for objectivity, it goes beyond, frankly, partisanship. We have very, very strict standards in this office to maintain what we call independence. Any person in this office who is going to work on an assignment cannot have any association or affiliation that might bring into question whether or not they are truly independent. So, and people are certainly allowed to, you know, be a member of, let's say, the Sierra Club or some other organization that involves the environment, natural resources. But we need them to tell us if they're about that affiliation. So we would not assign them to an audit or an evaluation that dealt with, let's say, the PolyMet case or any other kind of environmental natural resource case, where if they are involved in that and they have an affiliation with one of the organizations that is a party to some of the conflict, we can't assign them to that. This is an everyday part of our life, maintaining our reputation for being independent and objective. And so, yes, Senator Kiffmeyer, partisanship is part of it. And partisanship, frankly, is a big part of it, because we work in a partisan environment where those of you who are Democrats or Republicans, and we respect that, but you tend to kind of put labels on people and you attribute certain things to that. I don't want those labels on OLA staff. I don't want any label on them other than they are an independent, objective assessor, evaluator, auditor of whatever assignment they're working on. So, yes, Senator Kiffmeyer, if I speak a little passionately on this issue, it's because it is so central to who we are.
Thank you, Mr. Nobles.
Representative Kiffmeyer, any further questions? Because I have other questions.
Go ahead.
Okay, Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to Mr. Nobles, let's not get crazy about talking about not making it another year as the OLA. I think that's not something that we want to hear. But I guess my question would be to clarify, because I didn't have the luxury of hearing this per se. Is your desire to enjoin your staff from running for a partisan office or any public office?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Nobles.
Representative Nash. It's an excellent question. I originally proposed any public elected office, partly because some of those offices that are indicated as nonpartisan still often, people who run for those have some affiliation with a party or an organization that has some partisan association. So, but I understand that that's maybe too broad for some of you. So my real concern with this is partisan office. I realize some, again, offices, some county commissioners run as a nonpartisan, but there is a clear perception of partisanship. But if going that far and outlawing the idea of OLA employees running for any elected office is objectionable. I understand there's an amendment to say it would be limited to just a partisan office. And I don't know who's going to put that forth, but if that's the way to resolve this issue, I would certainly accept that and appreciate that effort to at least carve out that as something that is inappropriate for an OLA staff person to do.
Representative Nash, follow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Nothing further.
Representative, or excuse me, Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to compliment, first of all, there's very few things that I get super protective about in the legislature. One's vets, of course, and one has been the Outdoor Heritage Fund that I've been a part of for several years, and one has been the legislative auditor, because they've been very good to me as a young senator. Anytime I've had questions, they've brought me in, told me that I've been wrong, told me that I've been right. Both of those things, it's been very good. Honestly, I was going to go down a different route with the question, but Representative Nash's question piqued my curiosity a little bit, and I think the language of no office may be a good way to start, and if we have issues from that point, I think maybe we should revisit it in a later year. I think that, Mr. Nobles has made a name for himself within the legislature for a good reason. And I tend to trust his judgment on something like this throughout the course of his tenure here, and maybe my short tenure, that at the end of the day, it's probably the right thing to do. So with that, Mr. Chair, thank you.
And Mr. Nobles started when he was five, so he's he was a prodigy. Anyway, Senator Curran.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I support Mr. Noble's position. I think he did a good job at defining the position and where they are in the role as the office of the legislative auditor, and the extraordinary work that he does, that he goes through, as well as his entire staff that he promotes to make sure that this organization and every member in it is as nonpartisan as possible. In every elected position, we may call those nonpartisan offices by definition, but just aren't any nonpartisan people and or candidates. And so I want to stick with, I think Mr. Nobles has a good plan there, to stick with no offices, no elected offices. I've worked in the financial sector, and based on your acceptance of employment, it everywhere has a whole series of terms and conditions. And I've worked in the financial sector, and many of them don't allow anybody to run for an elected office, regardless of the level. And so based on the careers and your backgrounds, there are often limitations, but you willingly accept those conditions going into it. And I think we need to support Mr. Noble's position. Thank you.
Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I appreciate the conversation, and I appreciate the conversation that we had in committee when we discussed this. And I think we spent a lot of time actually talking about what Representative Nash raised, which was the distinction between partisan office and nonpartisan office, and that this language would mean that folks couldn't run for local office, including school board, soil district, all of those things. And so I really think in a moment where it is really positive that folks get involved in their local community, that this would be overbroad. I also just heard Mr. Noble describe that they already have a conflict of interest policy for dealing with those sort of issue by issue policy issues. So support the idea, don't support this language, but if we go down that route, do think that an amendment where we're really allowing, really just dealing with the issue, which I think was raised, which is the partisan office, and allowing folks to continue to participate at the local nonpartisan level. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Howe.
Thank you, and I will tell you that I have personal experience with something like this, as I was a federal technician and actually had to quit my job to run for office. That was a tough decision to make, but I thought it was the right decision because I thought that was right for me. And I will tell you that I personally believe that if you were, I support the current language, and Auditor Noble's position, because it would be tough if you're on one of these boards that actually, as you continue to have people that run for nonpartisan positions, and the legislative auditor gets requested to look into some of those places, it's going to be more and more difficult to find staff that does not have a conflict of interest. And I think you're putting the auditor's office in a tight situation where they're going to have to start making decisions that are going to conflict with his ability to do the job. And I that's why I support the current language that they just have to make the decision. If they want to work in the auditor's office, that's a decision that they have to make. And I that's why I support the current language. Thank you.
And Senator Howe, I too, when before I could run, I had to resign a position that I had what you're talking about is the Federal Hatch Act. But then the Federal Hatch Act, as it is now, you can run for a school board, you can run for nonpartisan office, but you can't run for a partisan office. Representative Nash.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to make sure and clarify my question. It wasn't that I was trying to change the language. I was just simply asking a question from my earlier comment, but did want to go down the road that I served in what was and is considered a nonpartisan role as both a city council member and a mayor. And the way I always described it to folks who would ask is, I am a Republican who is a mayor, not a Republican mayor. So to the point that has been made that even though you are in a nonpartisan office, yes, there is a distinction and an understanding that this person is of a certain assignation. So I do support the Senate language on this. I think that Auditor Nobles understands the requirements of his office and of his employees, and I am supportive of the Senate language.
So, Mr. Chair?
Senator Kiffmeyer, yes.
If everybody else is on your list, I'm not quite sure, but if there was somebody else, I would wait.
Nobody else's hands up right now, so yes, go ahead, Senator Kiffmeyer.
Okay, I have another question for Mr. Nobles. And this question, Mr. Nobles, has to do with the nonpartisan in regards to local government, because the concern I have, partisan is one area. The other one is conflicts of interest, which is really a big area and really makes it difficult for Mr. Nobles in managing his office, especially if it's one thing when you have one, but you start having two, three, or four locally elected officials, even if they're nonpartisan. And as you heard from Representative Nash, it doesn't mean they don't have a partisan label. They're just running in a nonpartisan office. That's a big, important distinction to make. But my question for you, Mr. Nobles, is does your office, when you do audits, include at times audits that include local units of government in some way in regards to the work of the office?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Nobles.
Senator Kiffmeyer, absolutely. For example, we have an ongoing audit of child protection services, which are run by counties. We have done many, many, many evaluations that involve the delivery of human services through counties. So many of our audits and evaluations involve local government. So the way we deal with that, and I appreciate Senator Howe and the rest of you pointing this out, that if, for example, we have an employee who is a member of a school board, that person cannot work on any audit, evaluation, investigation related to education. So it's a conflict of interest. The same would be true if they were a county commissioner or a mayor or any other local official. So that's the way we would deal with that. So we would simply exclude them. They cannot work on those audits. I think that's the way we deal with it. But so I'll leave it there.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I hope the broadening of the understanding of the impact of an elected official, whether they are in a partisan or nonpartisan, if we can understand this from the perspective of the auditing division itself and what they do and how they touch local government, the issue of conflicts of interest are as large as the partisan. And so I really hope that maybe with these explanations that folks could be willing to take the Senate language on line 27.26 to 28.
Members, there was an amendment that was mentioned. It was prepared. I asked to be prepared because, in the House committee, there was a lot of discussion about this, and we didn't include it in our bill because it was voted out in our committee, maybe acceptance of doing it nonpartisan, and members, what is the number on this amendment? It's the 1952A96 amendment.
Well, Mr. Chair, before we go to that, I just want to check and see, is everybody really finding, Representative Greenman and others as well, I just would like to hear from you. With the explanation from Mr. Nobles, has that made a difference to your thought about this language, just as it's written here?
Representative Greenman, Representative Zhang. Representative Greenman.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think that the explanation about the conflict of interest policy was really helpful. I am interested in talking about the amendment, but not the Senate language as it. So if that's the question where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same here.
Representative Zhang.
Chair Nelson, same here.
And Senator Kipper, I was just going to say the amendment. And I was going to ask if anybody wanted to offer it. Again, the amendment, looking at it, if you, it was posted on the website, it basically just adds the one word partisan in front of elected in the Senate, would be in the Senate language. And so, members, is there anybody that wants to bring that amendment forward?
Well, Mr. Chair, I think those who support it should offer it.
That's why I'm asking if anybody wants to offer the amendment. And not seeing anyone jumping up to do that.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nash.
I would move adoption of the Senate language.
Representative Nash moves adoption of the Senate language. Members, because of this, I want to make sure we get the language, we get it right, the vote right. And if we don't vote it in now, we can change our mind at a later date and vote it in. But I'm going to ask for a roll call on this so that my ears aren't as good as they used to be. So, Ms. Sprecht, do you want to take the roll? The motion is to accept the Senate language for, and get the right. Starts on page R5 and goes into page R6. And the Senate language is section 12, which talks staff compensation. So everyone knows what we're voting on. And the Senate language, it includes the prohibition for voting or for allowing people that work for the legislative auditor's office to run for office. Ms. Sprecht, do you want to take the roll?
Chair Nelson.
No, at this time.
Chair Kiffmeyer.
Yes.
Representative Nash.
Yes.
Senator Carlson.
No.
Representative Greenman.
No.
Senator Howe.
Aye.
Senator Curran.
Yes.
Senator Lang.
Yes.
Representative Mason?
No.
Representative Young?
No.
With a vote of 5 ayes and 5 nays, the motion does not prevail.
Well, Ms. Sprick, in the conference committee, it's going to be a majority in both.
You're muted, Chair Nelson.
Ms. Sprick, it's got to be what's the vote total on the House and what's the vote total in the Senate? Because it's got to be a majority of the Senate and the majority of the House to put something in the bill.
4 ayes in the House and 1 nay, and no, four nays in the House and 1 aye, 4 ayes in the Senate and 1 nay. So prevails in the Senate, but not in the House.
So we understand that, Mr. Chair. We understand that it is not adopted.
Thank you. I just want to make sure that the public knew and everybody else knows. So, Ms., again, this doesn't preclude this from further discussion going forward. Senator Kiffmeyer.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think that I want to honor Mr. Nobles and that he was willing to take the language where it would be restricted to prohibited from being a candidate for a partisan elected public office. So I will move that language. If you have it written somewhere and have an amendment name that accomplishes that, then I will move that.
Senator Kiffmeyer moves the H-1952-A-96 amendment to the Senate language.
Can you please read it?
And remember what it says is it changes the language of that section to E in parentheses, notwithstanding section 43A.32, subdivision 2 and 3, or any law to the contrary, an employee of the legislative auditor is prohibited from being a candidate for a partisan elected office. So the effect is that the only change to the Senate language would be adding the word partisan before elected.
And striking James, the word and.
And striking the word and, correct. Mm-hmm. Ms. James and Mr. Gehring, if you want to verify that.
Mr. Chair and members, so the amendment would be on page R6, Senate line 20, or page 27, line 28, delete and insert a partisan.
Representative Kiffmeyer, is that your...
That's my motion, Mr. Chair.
And Mr. Gehring, is that... We agree with that?
Mr. Chair, yeah, that's right. The amendment that's posted and drafted is actually to the House side of the bill, so you could do... You're accomplishing the same thing by doing the thing that Ms. James just said.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Gehring. Senator Kiffmeyer moves the amendment on line 27.28 of the Senate language. Senate language to strike and insert a partisan. Everybody understand the amendment? If not, if everyone is okay, please unmute. All in favor of the Kiffmeyer amendment, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. With that, Senator Kiffmeyer.
Mr. Chair, since we have made the amendment, it's my understanding, on the Senate side.
Yes.
Does it matter to staff then, since it was done on the Senate side, then I would move section 12 on page R5 to A6 as amended.
Senator Kiffmeyer moves to accept the language on section 12 of the Senate language, starting on page R5, lines 27.1 to 27.28, as amended, be included in the conference committee report. Members, Any questions of the motion? If not, all in favor, unmute. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you, Senator Kiffmeyer. Thank you, Mr. Nobles.
Thank you.
Senator Kiffmeyer, is there anything else we need to discuss today?
No, Mr. Chair, nothing on the items that we have. I would like to mention we are continuing to work, and because of the shortness of the time, I am going to be having a conference committee hearing tomorrow morning at our usual time, 9 to 12. Please stay tuned. If we are not able to find language that works, then we will cancel it. I will give you notice as soon as possible to free up your Saturday morning, but I would appreciate your holding on to that time slot until we can do that, and I will let you know as soon as possible. So at this time, it is scheduled for 9 tomorrow morning as our time, and I will let you know if it changes.
Thank you. Representative Zhang, you have your hand up.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to ask if we're going to take up the restorative justice. Either you or Chair Kiffmeyer might have more information on that.
Senator Kiffmeyer, I go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Zhang. I appreciate your question, and we're working on that. Chair Nelson and I are both involved in that and others as well. But it's complicated and complex, and there's a lot of vetting, a lot of things that we have to check out to be sure. This is something new, and we're close, I think, but we just have a few things. If possible, I would bring it forward with agreement from Chair Nelson as well. If we can get to that point, then yes, that would be my intention to do that tomorrow morning. I can't prejudge ahead of time what can go on today as far as working through those details.
Senator, Representative Zhang.
Okay, so we're thinking probably tomorrow morning then.
If it's ready, we would do, sorry, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, Senator Kiffmeyer, yeah, Representative Zhang, that's what I heard, but Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yeah, I'll just repeat it again. If it's ready, we will do it. If it's not ready, we won't. If that helps make it clear.
And Representative Zhang and members, there's a few other items there that are same that I think we talked to last night, and but this is probably the biggest piece of the vets bill, along with the military justice piece that is house language that needs to be worked through. But I think if we get an agreement on the restorative justice, it would be good to get that done and out of the way. But mm-hmm. it doesn't make sense to do just one part of the vets bill if we don't have agreement on that. Senator mm-hmm. Kiffmeyer.
I agree, Chair Nelson. So we'll keep working today, working as hard as we can to accomplish that. I think we're close.
Thank you, Senator Kiffmeyer. Members, any other members' questions, concerns, statements that we need to make? I see no hands jumping up, members. Thank you for your time this morning, and we're starting to work through this, and hopefully soon we'll get our target numbers and that we can start dealing with some of the money issues and work through those pieces of it. And with that, members, if there are no further questions, that's my cursor there. Somebody had their hand up, but when I put it over somebody's face, looked like it was a hand. Anyway, members, if there are no further questions or discussion, we are adjourned for this morning. Thank you all, and have a good day.